the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, him referring back to God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that will. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, meaning we have liberty, not using your liberty for choice of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing on the word today. Something to be a help and encouragement to all that are here, especially our civil servants. We ask it in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. Well, I want to say, first and foremost, as we begin, thank you, Ginger, that we do appreciate our civil servants, all of them. And I, especially as a pastor, appreciate them because on a number of occasions, we've had to call police officers here for various things. Some of you know we've had to call EMTs a number of times for Brother Henry. And we appreciate how quickly they respond. And so we as a congregation want to thank you for your sacrifice. I know we don't have any firefighters with us today, but we appreciate them. They do a tremendous work. They run to the fire when everyone else is running away. And the EMTs, they are just fantastic people. I could not do what they do. You have to have a strong stomach. And they save lives. We should pray for them. Support them. Give gifts when you can. And then there's our law enforcement community. And folks, they literally put their lives on the line. They put their lives even in danger to help other people. And some of them, unfortunately, have paid the ultimate sacrifice. I did just a little research the other night, and I found out that on May 19th of this year, the Federal Bureau of Investigation reported this statistic, that 106 law enforcement officers were killed in line of duty incidences in 2008. Folks, that's 106 too many. 55 of those officers died as a result of criminal acts. 51 officers died in accidents. And I don't have time to go through the rest of the report of how other officers were injured, some maimed. We have seen a rise in contempt and disrespect for the men and women in blue. It's truly troubling. I read recently that such disdain for the police isn't just confined to the criminal element or rowdy crowds in a bad neighborhood, but there now is an institutional element. And this is what's troubling me the most. Progressive leaders in cities across the country have been contributing to a culture of disrespect for police and for the work they do. It's been happening for some time now. It's very dangerous. Fortunately, we have a city not too far from us. The mayor seems like he doesn't even care. And so the church ought to, amen? And I really like to get the message across that what government isn't doing, the Church of Jesus Christ can, because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to pray for that protection over these people. They're not getting it from the places that they ought to be. The church needs to do its part. It needs to show our law enforcement officers, our civil servants, that we care. Take the time when you see one to thank them. And we teach you to thank a serviceman, woman, for their service. But do the same for our police officers. The church should lead the way to be a help. We need to elevate
these officers, but we also need to elevate their families. See, I know a little bit about the lifestyle of having an officer in a family. For years, my cousin Joey Bacino, he was a Pennsylvania state trooper. This was back in the day when officers like Joey were very much respected. I remember when he would come to Sunday dinner at my grandfather's house. He'd come in uniform, and we were all proud of him. And we would, as kids, look up to him and always ask him silly questions. My brother, being the one who would ask the craziest, "Shoot anybody today?" That's Vito. The only bad memory I had is, we would get to carrying on, as boys will do, in Grandpa's house. And Cousin Joey would say to my dad, "Hey, Uncle Jimmy, should I cuff him?" But you know what would happen almost at every family gathering? My Aunt Mary, who was Joey's mom, she would get my other aunts and my uncles, and I can still hear her voice. "Do you pray for Joey? Pray for Joey." Joey served with distinction. He was promoted to detective. Unfortunately, he got cancer, and he's no longer with us. But I understand the concern of family. And they walk out the door. My aunt, sometimes she would have tears in her eyes, knowing some of the assignments that Cousin Joey would have. So you can understand why I get frustrated by the constant negativity hurled at the men and women in blue. Okay, we understand not all of them are perfect, but either are pastors, amen? Just look at the faith community. Look at some of the corruption that we see there. So let's not use that as an excuse. Most police officers work hard to keep you and yours safe. Their stories, their peculiar situations have not always been accurately told. And those of you who know of officers and their families, you know a little bit more about the deep concern their families have for them. I recently read a police officer story. It's kind of humorous, but you won't believe it. And I'll quickly read it. It's written from the officer's point of view. He said, "I was out on a Sunday afternoon. I was dispatched to a residential area for a report of a disturbance in which someone was beating the windows out of the vehicles." Guys ever have any do that? Taking a baseball bat? Just busting up the windows. "Well, this officer said, as I arrived, I saw what looked like Ronald McDonald slinging a Louisville Slugger on the windshield of the vehicle in the driveway. I mean, this guy had red hair, blue nose, makeup, and size 42 shoes. Well, when Ronald saw my unit, he dropped the bat and began to run. So I got out of my unit, I looked around, like this has to be a joke, thinking I was being punked by another officer. I soon realized by the looks from the neighbors that this was no joke, and I advised dispatch that the subject was running south as I reluctantly began jogging. But however, I repeatedly ignored the dispatcher who wanted a description of the suspect. As I turned the corner, I observed a Ford Fiesta parked in the driveway with red and yellow size 42 shoes hanging out a bit from the side window." People will do crazy things. "After several requests for him to come out, I finally had to drag him out by his shoes and cuff him. As I walked back to my unit with Ronald in cuffs, I saw several children on bicycles riding down the sidewalk. And as I walked past the kids, all of them gave me a thumbs down and began to boo." See, even doing their job, they They can't get a break. But we can help, can't we, by being good citizens first and foremost. And then being supportive as a community. These officers don't get paid what they're worth, let me tell you. And so when we can help with special drives and things like that. You know, as Christians, we are, as Christians, to be model citizens and give the men and the women of law enforcement our respect. Pray for them. Pray for the first responders. It is not only our civic duty, but as a pastor, I'm telling you, it is our Christian duty. And I'm going to briefly, as time is eluding me here, show you from the Bible, not pastor speaking, but God is speaking to us through the scriptures. We're supposed to be obedient to the word of God. Our role as Christian citizens is mandated for us in the scriptures. Do you remember Jesus when he was about his itinerant ministry? Remember he said, render to Caesar the things that are what? Caesar's. And to God the things that are God. Being a Christian should affect every area of our lives. Our attitudes. And believe me, that's where a lot of problems start. Amen? Right there. How we talk. How we address officers. Nobody likes to get pulled over, but you know what? If you're doing, you know, 85 into 45, don't be mad at the officer. Amen? He's doing his job. He's trying to protect you from hurting yourself and hurting somebody else. And I know that sometimes people, they just have the wrong attitude. Who are they to pull me over? Well, they're ministers of God. And I tend to prove that quickly from the passage. God established three institutions from scriptures. We know the home, the church, and human government. All are divine institutions created for the care, the protection of you and me, the human race. This does not mean that God approves of all forms of government, and I'm not trying to advocate that. But it does mean that He's behind all government authority. How do you know that, Pastor? The Bible says it. I wish I had time to take you through all the passages, but the first one that comes to my mind is Paul writing to the Romans. Romans 13:1, he says, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of Him. Amen? We come to Peter, and we find that this is the will of God. What's that first word there in verse 13? Nobody likes that word. Come on, talk to me. Submit. Submit. When you hear the siren, doesn't mean go faster. It means submit. Put your blinker on, put your brake on, and get over. Submit. We don't like to submit. We think when we submit that, you know, they are better than us. No, they're doing their job. You know that the word there, submit, comes from a Greek military word. It comes from the word hupotasso. It's a military word that means to arrange, like troop divisions are arranged in a military fashion under the command of a leader. And these troop divisions, they hupotasso. They submit so that there is order. And there's design. So things can be executed carefully, cautiously, and effectively. In non-military use of the word hupotasso, it means a voluntary attitude of cooperation. You're responsible for that, amen? Yes, we are. Because the Bible says we are. And if we're to be model Christians, then we need to submit to authority. Say, but authority's not always right. Well, we know that, but all things being equal. This is not a debate today. It's a message that we understand that God has called us to submit to civil authority. The government is not always right, but even Jesus Christ submitted to civil authority, right? When they came for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Peter do? Sword came out and he started slashing at the what we call the temple police, we'll call them, okay? But they were actually guards that guarded the temple. But on occasion, they were dispatched like soldiers. And Peter, first thing he does, takes out the sword. And he missed his target and he hit Malchus. And he sliced off Malchus's ear. And what did Jesus say? Attack! No. Jesus actually took Malchus, who was a servant to the high priest Caiaphas, took his ear, and as only Jesus could do, miraculously healed him. And Jesus Christ submitted to their authority. If Jesus Christ submits to civil authority, who are we not to? Say, yeah, but I'm right. Well, we're always right. Right? We leave that to the court. They're just doing their job. Peter qualifies the extent of this submission by saying, note what he says, to every ordinance of man. But why should I do that? Well, he tells us, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. You know what God is telling us? Be a model citizen that you glorify God. Amen? Well, I hate to hear that a member of Dover First Baptist Church was giving a police officer a bunch of trouble. But that would be disgrace. He said, but I'm right. Okay, that there's proper means by which we air out our grievances. And we've talked about that even in the operation of the church. Pastor's not always right. The board is not always right. But there are proper ways that we settle our disagreements in an amicable way. We are to be model citizens. We are not to discredit Christ for our troublemaking. So not only would we disgrace the church, but we would disgrace the name of the one who we serve. Remember that during the time that Peter is writing this epistle, guess who's the emperor? One of the worst emperors ever, Nero, who later on history found out it was him that burned Rome, not the Christians. And Peter is writing this during a time where Christians are being persecuted. He was probably one of the most unfit rulers ever. I don't know, I studied most of these rulers and he was pretty bad, but I think Caligula was the worst. I mean, that guy was just totally sick. Our general attitude and pattern of behavior towards government should be, first we submit. And I would probably think that these officers, when they come in contact with somebody who is creating a problem, when they come, they would expect us to submit. Because once you don't, you know what? They got to think about themselves too. They want to go home to their families. They don't know what you're going to do. So respect that. I wish I had more time. Let's jump to verse 15 and then we're going to close this. I know you're all hungry. We want to feed these officers so they can go back. Verse 15, interesting verse. For so is the, what's the next three words? Will of God. So I'm trying to get across today. This is not Pastor Bacino. I agree because it is the will of God. But I want you to take it as from the Lord, not from Pastor Bacino. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye or you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We have a lot of foolish things being said against police officers today. The church ought to stand up in their defense. Amen?
Amen.
There's another translation and it says, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." It's in another translation. And I don't always do that, but sometimes, you know, the King James can be a little clumsy. That comes right out and says it, doesn't it? Speak up! As Christians, we must trust in the sovereignty of God that reigns supreme, even over ungodly men. And as Christians, our main goal in life is that we please God. You please God when you follow God's will. So the Bible says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." I think our men and women in blue would feel probably a little more secure if they knew there were a lot more people on their side. Am I right? I think they go out to work and they wonder, anybody care? I have to close. Verse 17, we'll close with that. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. The Bible is telling us that God ordained human government. It's not perfect. But the Bible teaches us in Romans 13 that these are the ministers of God to subdue evil and to help us. Let's help them. And I want them to know that God loves them. He loves you with an undying love. He understands that you have personal things in your life, that you have struggles and trials and tribulations, but He wants to be there for you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. John 14, verse 6. He is the way, the truth, and life. No man can come unto the Father but by Him. So we want you to know Him. We want you to know Jesus Christ, who's the mediator between God and humanity. And if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, do so. He's the only way to heaven. We live in a world where the devil has divided us up by religion. Isn't that sad? And when we fight with each other over our differences. God didn't create religion. The Bible teaches God through Christ wants to have a relationship with humanity. And that's what the gospel teaches. So Christ came and He died a vicarious death to pay for your sin, for the sin of all people, the sins of the whole world. But His sacrifice is only efficient and effective to those who will place their faith in that finished sacrifice. You know, one of the things Jesus said on the cross is Tetelestai. Arabic. It is what? Finished. There's nothing you can add to going to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God's not going to break your arm to get saved. He's just saying to you, "I love you. Christ died for you. He took the penalty of all your sin, past, present, future." Some might think, "Well, if I accept Christ, then I can just go out and do whatever I want then, because I'm going to heaven anyway." I wouldn't advise it. I remember 6 months after I got saved, I developed that attitude. You know what I found out? I was more miserable than the most miserable people who weren't saved. And my pastor had told me that, I just didn't believe him. Because once you belong to God, you're His child. And God will discipline everyone that belongs to Him. Amen. Doesn't He say that? So if we walk away from the Lord's going to smack us that we come back home. So don't think that getting saved gives you a license to go live the way you want, because you will be miserable. And God will not let you have peace until you repent. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I wish I could go longer, but we want to feed these men and women and be a blessing. Bless the food, Lord. Thank You for those who prepared it. Thank You for those who made the sacrifice to bring it today so we can enjoy this fellowship together. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will do in the hearts and minds of these officers what I can. That you love them. Christ died for them. And the church wants to pray for them and lift them up. Cry out unto you for their daily protection. Help us, O God, to be the model citizen you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close. We'll just do one verse and we'll be dismissed to lunch. And we hope everybody will make their way right to the hall. And I know that we've got some nice wedges from Cousins. And a cake you will not believe. And it says, thank you, civil servants. And we want you to enjoy that. Let's stand as we sing 511.